Take my life, Jesus, I surrender it to you forever. Take possession of my time. May every hour be consecrated to you. Take my hands. Show me how I can serve. Take my feet. Make them swift to follow your call. Take my voice. Teach me to speak, to sing only for you. Take, O Lord, my lips. Put your words in them. Take my gold and silver. Teach me to do your will. Take my strength, my mind, completely into your masterful hand. Take, Lord, my will. That it may rest quietly in yours. Take my heart. Make it here already your temple and your throne. Take the fullness of my love. Jesus, satisfy all my longing. Take me myself and let me be eternally, solely, completely yours. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all of you who are now connected and hearing this proclamation with us, I greet you with all my heart in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you receive with us the same blessing that we expect here. Before we pray, let me read a scripture from Psalm 93, verses 1 to 5. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Let us pray together. Faithful Heavenly Father, praise, honor and glory to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are still free to gather together and take the opportunity to come together under your word. Lord, bless us this afternoon. Grant us your revelation, your Spirit, who leads us into all truth. Lord, keep your protective hand over us all and be gracious to us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for the preparation which we may experience today. We therefore praise and glorify your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless us all. Amen. Praise the Lord for the great privilege of being here again. Each time is a blessing, and we are very grateful to the Lord for it. I drove into the yard just a few minutes ago, having traveled over 600 kilometers, albeit by aeroplane, to your relief. And I'm truly very grateful to the Lord that we can be here together like this. First of all, I would like to express my sympathy to our beloved Brother Schmidt and his entire family. It occurred to me, when we had visitors recently, his two brothers, then other relatives and acquaintances came, and again today, it occurred to me that God sent Joseph ahead in the Old Testament so that others would have bread in times of famine. We know that God wanted to send a famine upon the land, not a famine for bread and water, but a famine to hear his word. And we may not yet have the power of God. We may not yet have all the miracles and signs. We may not yet have all the gifts. That may all be true. But God has already given us one thing, and that is his holy word. And not just his word as letters, but made alive by the Spirit, revealed as it was originally revealed to the prophets and apostles. And so, I would like to warmly welcome and greet you in our midst, whether you are visiting or staying here permanently. We want everyone to feel truly at home. And as you know, even in the same country, with the same faith, every local church is a little different. They may be similar, but nothing can be copied exactly. And that is not necessary, because the Spirit of God should always work in new ways, speak to us, and God should come to his right. We ask one thing of all who visit us. When you are here, feel at home, even if things are not yet as you are used to. Just accept them and thank God. He will make everything right. If I were to dwell on everything I see and hear on earth before I preach, I could leave immediately, and you must not do this. You mustn't. Proclaiming the word is too important to dwell on trivialities. And sometimes we have a special gift for making trivialities seem very big, and great things we overlook or even make them disappear. And then the need is all the greater. No, we really ask you, where we are not yet so far as you are, we ask you to pray that we may get there. And where we can serve you, we want to do so. We truly want to serve one another in divine love, until we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 4. And when we have this mind within us, which is the mind of Jesus Christ, then we have no trouble overlooking certain things and putting the main thing upon the lampstand. I have read a letter. I do not know if the people are here tonight. In any case, this brother complained in his letter that we talk specifically about a sister's clothing in this place, that they should be dressed modestly, and that we also insist that they should have long hair according to Scripture. That is all correct. And then he drops the hammer and says, why is it not emphasized how a wife should be towards her husband? Why is that not emphasized? And then he mentioned a few other things. Yes, it may indeed be that we have not taken one thing or another into account quite as God would have us do. And then we are open before the Lord. And if it is just a suggestion, everyone can say something and contribute. A few days ago, I even read in my Bible that older sisters should be good teachers. Have you ever read that? They should teach the younger sisters how to love and treat their husbands. Have you ever read that? That was amazing. It is written, I do not permit a woman to teach. Of course, not here at the front, but at home, they can tell the younger sisters from experience, listen, if you want to see good days, then do such and such, and then you will be well off, then your husband will be happy, and so on. Oh yes, the sisters are also allowed to teach, namely the older ones, the younger ones, how to do everything right. Not only here, but also where it is appropriate, where it should be. In that context, when I read the letter, it was two typewritten pages long and also elegantly written. And then I actually had to think of the word. Where is it? You know it. That women should not adorn themselves outwardly, but inwardly, with a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious before God. That is what is written. Your adornment should not be outward, but the inner person should adorn herself in secret, with a quiet and gentle spirit, as is right before God. If we are gathered here together, then surely it is also to examine ourselves before God and see how we stand. Believe me, the longer I stand before the Lord, the more I realize that there seems to be no way out. We must face God wholeheartedly. The full gospel must receive full confirmation. If we proclaim the same Jesus Christ that Paul proclaimed, then he must do the same thing he did back then. If we preach the same gospel, then God must confirm it. I don't know how you feel about this, but I think the time has come when we can no longer continue as before. I have also thought about my very good suggestion to build radio stations and TV stations, but when you become completely still, truly still before the Lord, then a quiet voice says, when God begins to do something, then everything else will fall into place and become unnecessary. Then we will not need anything else. What we need is for God to be with us and confirm His word. I would like to thank my beloved brother Steinke, whom I hold particularly dear to my heart, and his whole family. In fact, all of you. As you know, my father became a believer in Russia. He went into the First World War as an unbeliever and came back as a believer. I have often heard his testimony, and I have a very special relationship with Eastern Europe in particular. I loved, cherished, and respected my father deeply. Four of my siblings are here today, and we all know what God has given us with our parents. But especially because of this, probably because he had his experience with God there, Eastern Europe is very close to my heart. And what I say, I mean, our beloved brother asked us whether we believe that those who are baptized in the Spirit speak in tongues, and we answer without hesitation with a very clear yes. I cannot answer any other way than what Scripture teaches us. That is not possible. One can only say what God's word says. Anyone who says anything else is not saying what God has said. And in connection with this, a great longing arose in my heart that we should not spend hours discussing how and what. I wish God could use our brothers, that the Spirit of God would come upon us and we would truly be filled, that every discussion, every debate would be unnecessary, and we could all be filled with the Spirit, praising and glorifying the Lord. You know, we have so much theory, and then we ask what God is looking for. God is looking for practice. Who remembers the incident that Brother Brenner mentioned? A man had written an entire book about the gifts of the Spirit, and when he was finished, he came to Brother Brenham and wanted him to explain how things work. And Brother Brenham asked him, you wrote a whole book about how it should all be, and now you are asking me how it works. Yes, he said, I wrote about all 9 gifts of the Spirit, but I don't have any myself. And what good is that? It's no good at all. You can put the book aside without reading it. No, God wants to bring us to the point where we have an abundance of spiritual gifts, where we are renewed inwardly, where new wine is put into new bottles, where the old man is not puffed up and thinks he can do something himself. It must come to the point where we do not have the Spirit, but the Spirit has us, and where the Spirit can work as he wills, through whom he wills, and when he wills. That's how it has to be. And for this to happen, it is necessary that we have indeed died to ourselves and no longer want to do anything. You know very well that when the Spirit of God works, he uses human vessels. But woe betide anyone who then takes the gifts into their own hands and does something with them. It is expressly stated that these are gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit distributes them as he wills. And the person who wants to be used by God must have renounced all his own will and thinking. There must be no more planning of one's own, but whatever the Spirit inspires and reveals, that is what is right. As I said, I am moved by many things. May God truly come into his own. After reading this letter, of course, I think about everything. There is no hint that I would not take seriously. One must. Eternity is too long. The thought also occurred to me. Many have spoken appreciatively about it and called and written to me about what this latest brochure, The Second Coming of Christ, means to them and how clear some things have become to them. Then a very deep sorrow creeps over me when I think, my Lord, if you came today, who would really go up with you? Not only that we write or preach or teach, but that we experience the things that are necessary to be taken up when the time comes. For the power of God must be in us beforehand in order to truly make our mortal bodies alive. That is why the Holy Scripture says, if the power of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, he will quicken them by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must strive to experience these things personally. Imagine if we had presented everything biblically here in this place and were left sitting in our chairs when the Lord comes. No one who has a shepherd's heart, who bears responsibility before God, and who is aware that he will have to give account on that day, can afford to do that. In this place, we must apply all seriousness and diligence to experience God biblically, a truly biblical conversion, a renewal, a new birth, a baptism of the Spirit, a sealing with the Holy Spirit, that each individual may truly receive the testimony that he is a child of God, that he has been accepted by the Lord and has received forgiveness for all his sins. I have said this here before, but Brother Rus and I experienced it perhaps about 2 years ago. Time passes so quickly that a dear sister who was advanced in age was dying here in the hospital. She had heard God's word for many years, and then on her deathbed she said, "I don't know if God has forgiven me." I'm sure you can remember that. And you can imagine what that means. What that means. Beloved, let us seek to experience God in this place. God is present. He works through His Spirit, through His Word, in the blood-bought multitude. But we must take Him at His Word, and we must have our personal experiences with the Lord. Otherwise, we will only sing and listen without having any part in it. As I said, I don't have a special word for tonight. It was just on my heart that we engage in serious soul searching. But I wanted to say one more thing. The comparison is not entirely appropriate, but we learn again and again that we are not yet where we should be. I know, Brother Momo, I once preached in Yugoslavia, and there too people looked at the outward appearances, and the preacher's wife came to me and said, "Brother Frank, you must take your ring off your finger, for you are a stumbling block to us." And I thought to myself, nothing is easier than that. I did it so as not to be a stumbling block. But I only mention this because it is really possible that we look at outward things, but the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It must be within us. There is no other way. Whether someone has a ring or not, one wears it and the other doesn't. And it goes even further. I preached in Greece, and I don't even know how I came to do it. In any case, I crossed one foot over the other, and before I knew it, the sister came. Again, strangely enough, the preacher's wives always seemed to have a very good all-round view, and she said, "That's not allowed here. You can't do that in church." Well, okay, then I put my legs side by side, and so on. But I only mention this to say how easy it is to look at external things, and that is not enough. You have to let the Spirit of God work. I don't know how our beloved brothers and sisters in the Soviet Union feel about the issue of long hair, but we have really read this very thoroughly in various translations and languages. The Bible says very clearly that long hair is given to women as a covering. I can't say anything else. One verse says that women should, while praying, not always, but only when praying and prophesying. It says, if a woman prays or prophesies, shall I read it? All right. Thank you, Brother Rus. Brother Rus just said, read the word, then I will do so. There is nothing better than reading the Holy Scriptures as they are written. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, listen, while praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head, Who is the head of the man? Christ. Dishonors his head. But every woman, now it comes, listen closely, that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. Prays or prophesies, not sings or listens to the sermon, but prays or prophesies, thereby dishonors her head. Who is her head? The man. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. Please listen very carefully. Why does it say shaven here? Shaven. Because it is about the hair. Amen. It's about the hair. If I have my hair cut here, I don't need it anymore. I'm already shaven, but by nature. Here it says, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Yes, what does she want with her hair if she doesn't use it? But here I have to be very careful. Someone in Sicily paid close attention, and I really did say how it was done in the Orient. And believe it or not, very quickly, sisters were found who suddenly uncovered their hair and covered themselves with their own hair, as was done in the Orient, and that caused great distress. But here it is written, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. What is the head? Who knows what the head is? When John was beheaded, what was taken from him? Only this far or this far? How far does the head go? Exactly this far. This far does the head go, and that is why it is written here, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, it would be right in prayer for the man not to have his face turned towards the ground, but to look up to God. The woman, on the other hand, should do otherwise. But now here, for example, let's not take it so seriously here, because we can't digest it all at once, I mean. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. A very clear statement. But now we come to the verse I actually meant. Now verse 11, and then on to verses 14 and 15. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. And now come the three verses. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Thus says the Lord in His word, and that is the only way we can say it. If a man has long hair, it is a disgrace. If a woman has long hair, it is an honor, for long hair is given her for a covering. Imagine if a prayer meeting were to take place here, and we were to kneel and pray, and men had long hair like the Beatles, and then their hair fell down, and they were covered. I've already said this here. The word head is clear, and covered is also clear. Believe me, that is what it says in the original text. The women let their long hair fall down during prayer and were covered. Their head, their face, was covered with their own hair. Just as feet are for walking, eyes are for seeing, hands are for doing, so a woman's long hair has been given as a veil, as a covering. And Paul, who took the matter very seriously, said, if you do not cover yourself with it, then you can have it cut off. Why do you still need it then? If you don't need it, why do you still have it? Just if you no longer want to use your feet, put them in your pocket. That's how it is. But, as I said, we here in this place, and I want to say this with all love and clarity, on every point, no matter how serious and biblical it may be, there is basically no must here. There is no dictatorship here. On the contrary, I have often enough seen my wife put on a headscarf in meetings for the sake of those who all wore them. I have put up with it a few times and advised her to wear a headscarf, because that is what the congregation I preached to taught. And if that is the case, then I would be a fool to blow up a situation just to make a point. That is not acceptable. In such cases, one must first gain the trust of the people, and there is so much in the Word of God that can be preached without having to emphasize certain points on which there may be different views, thereby making the atmosphere unbearable. So that is not necessary. When I preach all over the world, I do not preach on 1 Corinthians 11. But when it comes to the local church here, it is different. Then we must say things as they are written. And perhaps this too for guidance. One cannot be clear enough in these matters. I paid special attention to how it was handled in Brother Brennan's church, and also in prayer, and at the Lord's Supper, and at the foot washing, and in everything. During Brother Brennan's lifetime, I deliberately paid attention to how things were done. And dear sisters, he will bear this responsibility before God. None of the sisters let their hair fall anywhere to cover their faces. Some had it hanging down loose, others had it rolled up, and still others had it in a bun. Some wore hats. Yes, most of them wear hats over there. That is the American custom, that every Sunday, if the month has four Sundays, then the woman has four hats. If the month has five Sundays, she has five hats, so that she wears a different hat every Sunday, so that people know that it's not always the same one. But none of them covered their faces with loose hair during prayer, and that is why I ask that we do not introduce this here. It could be I must leave it open. It could be that when we have special prayer meetings where sisters realize that they are going to operate gifts of the Spirit, it will be laid on their hearts by God, as it is written here, when praying or prophesying. So if there are special meetings where the Spirit of God is at work and sisters are also operating gifts of the Spirit, then it may be that the Lord will lay it on your heart. But please do not copy each other and wait until it actually happens, so that we do not get confused. You all know, the enemy is always there, doing something somewhere, which is then debated and talked about, and the blessing is gone. It must come to the point where the enemy no longer succeeds in robbing us of our blessing, but where everyone is in the Spirit of God and is guided by the Spirit of God, so that everything goes well. And then we will also realize what has become important to me recently. We ourselves have been through a lot here, and I believe that since 1906 and 1909, when the Pentecostal movement came to this country, there has been no other case like the one we experienced here from 1976 to 1979. But it is well known that even when the Spirit of God is at work, other spirits suddenly become effective. And then, of course, everything fails and is shattered on the ground. One thing has become very important to me. We may go through this sometime in a Bible study. Which gifts are used by God for what purpose? And I'm thinking here of the scripture in Corinthians. Perhaps I should read it to you now, so that you are not kept in suspense. But it does indeed list here what certain gifts are for. Time has passed quite quickly today. We should actually have prayed very earnestly. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21 and following. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And listen to what it says in verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. I think I need to read that again. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. This is also very important. And you can read on. In verse 23 it says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. Who? The unbeliever. And whose thoughts are revealed? The secret thoughts of the unbeliever. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Perhaps we should resolve to read these three chapters. Yes, perhaps chapter 11 as well. We can add 11 and then 12, 13, 14 in order to understand uniformly through the Spirit of God what God wants. I say it again, with a sincere heart, combined with a deep longing. May God reveal to us in this place everything we do not yet know. Show us everything we do not yet see. Make clear everything we do not yet clearly see, and so on. I mean that. I don't believe there can be anyone here who thinks of himself as knowing everything and being God's secret counselor. No, we are still in God's school. Our knowledge is fragmentary, and we all want to do our part so that God can lead us to perfection. Remember, in the revelations that Brother Branham had, what was it? Was anyone exposed? No, it was revealed to him what God showed him, and everything was 100% correct. So may what God does in our midst be a blessing to all. We must be different from everyone else if we are truly the Church of Jesus Christ, and if we indeed have the original, unadulterated gospel. Then may the Lord confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ as he did back then. How many long for that? How many believe that God wants to do it? That this involves restoration, and that it is absolutely essential, that it is the must of the hour. And we believe that God has driven us into a corner in such a way, through many bitter lessons. Sometimes we have truly drunk the cup to the dregs and would have often said, Lord, if you will, let this cup pass from me. But God knows why we had to go through certain things that others are completely spared, and they fly over the heights and may look down on us with contempt. One thing we can say, our God was with us and will be with us. He has taught us so graciously to this day. And the beautiful thing is that we actually have no doctrine as an obligation of a religious denomination, but can simply believe as the scriptures say. I would just like to conclude with the words that Brother Schmidt read, and I truly hope, beloved brothers and sisters, I truly hope that there is balm and oil in every word of God that is read here and spoken by our lips. No one here knows better. We simply read what the Holy Scriptures say in reverence for God. Brother Schmidt read from Psalm 119, and verses 15 and 16 say, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And then, let me add these verses. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. We notice the deep longing with which these men of God cried out to the Lord. We do the same in this time. The coming of the Lord is near. The call goes out. Get ready to meet the bridegroom. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. May God help us, truly help us. And brothers and sisters, I say one thing to you, and I ask you, do not let the word pass you by. When we pray, let us all truly pray. The Holy Scripture say, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. You can read it in Romans and in the book of Acts. The goose step prayer only came when everything had cooled down and no one knew who should pray next. They lifted up their voice with one accord. And then when the prayer subsided, it was usually then that the Spirit of God began to work. Let us wait until it can be sorted out as God pleases. May the Lord bless us all. I do not know how you feel, but I am completely shaken, utterly and completely. I want God to have His due. I want nothing else. I only want God to have His due. At most I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? May God's will be done in us, with us, and through us. Let us put God's love above all else, which does not cause suffering to others, does not hurt, but bears all things, endures all things, and so on. May the bond of divine love unite us all most intimately and most heartily. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand and worship. For your precious and holy word, which shines brightly in every point, in the midst of darkness, which speaks a clear word where there is confusion, which orders things as you would have them ordered. Beloved Lord, we are gathered here before you and want you to have your due. Great God, we feel that you are near. O Spirit of the Lord, come, rush and blow, and do not stay away, as the song goes. Beloved Savior, grant conversions, renewal, new birth, grant baptism in the Spirit, grant sealing, distribute gifts and powers and ministries. Equip us, O Lord. Let all things be restored to the glory of your name, as it was in the beginning, so may it be at the end. Grant us a united mind before your face, namely the mind of Jesus Christ, to do the will of God in all things. Beloved Lord, for such a mind was in you, not my will, but yours be done. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do thy will and to do your will is my delight. Beloved Lord, here we are before your holy face. I ask you from my heart to remove this hindrance from us so that we may soar in faith, in prayer, in spirit. Beloved Lord, you have done us good. You have blessed us. You have brought us through. You have done great things for us. We praise you for that. You have done us no harm to this day. Good and more good. Praise be to your name. Once again we ask you, O Lord, feel at home in our midst. Let us have gatherings in which you come to your right. Bless my beloved brother Rus. Bless our beloved brother Schmidt. Bless all our brothers, including those who have newly been added, that they may feel at home in our midst. Use them all, each one as you see fit. Beloved Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you, to the glory of thy name. Soon you will finish your work. Praised and glorified be your holy name, also for this evening. Hallelujah. Together we praise the power of your blood and the power of your word and the power of your spirit. Beloved Lord, here we are, the people of your pasture, the sheep of your hand. We have recognized you as the living God, and you have recognized us. Praised and glorified be you, now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen.